Freedom, freedom, freedom revamp. Time to get amped up. Turn up your radio podcast. This is the Let Loose Anthem. Discover who you are. You perfect, got a purpose. Don't let them tell you nah. They nervous, they don't deserve it. Open your mind up, it's your light up. Illuminate, you will feel great.
Freedom, freedom revamp. Open your mind up, it's show your light now.
Don't hesitate, tune in today.
Freedom, freedom, revamp. Freedom, freedom, revamp.
You could be living a free life. Internal freedom is your right, it's your life, yeah.
Freedom, freedom, revamp.
Welcome back to Freedom Revamp, the video podcast. We are so excited for this season and this specific episode. We're not going to do too much. It's just going to be me and Courtney, and we will be discussing discovering self-identity. So this is a conversation that's very important, especially as you're trying to determine who you are and to develop freedom, because it's essentially, we talked about this in previous episodes, how important it is to know who you are and operate in who you are to really feel free. So without further ado, let's get into the conversation. So Courtney, when it comes to discovering identity, we have to first think about how we identify. So give us a brief description of how you would say you identify.
Ooh, that actually is a deeper question than you think, simply because I feel like I say this a lot, but I had a tough time knowing who I was growing up because there's so many things happening in my life that we can probably get into later. But I would say I am someone who strives to be better every day and strives to help those around me to be better. Funny thing is, I actually just looked at someone's Instagram bio like earlier this morning, and her bio said, "My purpose is to help you find yours." And I honestly feel like that is me as well. So I'm someone who is not going to give up on those who I love, and I'm someone who is not going to allow people to give up on themselves either. I think that encompasses everything I do in one tiny little package.
I would agree. I mean, now that you mention it and I start to settle in with the question, there are different things that are part of who I am and how I identify. But like, if I had to like piece things together, because there's like such a great intersectionality to who I am and all the different things that I enjoy. Like, I like gospel music, but I also like trap music.
Yes.
You know, I'm an artist, but I'm also a scholar. Obviously, I'm a child of God, and that's something that's like a really big deal to me. There's a meme out right now that I think is so funny, and it's like, don't ask me if you don't mean put God in it, because I'm put God in it. Because that's me. And then, of course, I'm like, the biggest thing for me is being a creative. I refer to myself as living art. Me and my friend, like, she drills that every time I talk to her, every birthday, she puts it in cards and stuff like that, because I think that who I am as a person and the way in which God made me, like, and this just doesn't go for me, it goes for everybody. We are art. We're all different pieces of art. We all can be interpreted different ways and things like that. So I think, generally speaking, I identify as a creative. Like, I love to create in any format, whether it's acting, whether it's writing, whether it's video format, whatever the case may be, newly found love for podcasting. Like, it just, whatever way I can create, I love to create. So if we're talking about identity, obviously there's a lot of social constructs that are attached to that. Mm-hmm. So when we think about how we identify in the world, that's a lot different than how we define ourselves. So how would you say others say you identify? Or how would others describe your identity?
Ooh, and that is also a deep question, because I feel like everybody has a different experience with me. So while I am the same person with everyone I encounter, everybody interprets that person differently.
Fair.
So I would feel like those who truly understand me and the reason I am who I am, they would see me as someone who, like I said earlier, is constantly trying to improve who she is. But those who don't truly know me might interpret me as someone who does the most, or...
And that's fine. Don't shrink, sis. Don't shrink.
Right. Well, now that you said that, I saw this meme, and it was like, if I'm too much for you, then go find less.
Period. I'd agree.
Yes. But those who don't truly know me might see me as someone who does the most or someone who... Yeah, I think that's pretty much it. They might think I do the most because I do.
Absolutely. I think the older I got and the more I decided to just be me, like in all areas, all formats, and just low-key it was an experiment at first because I know who I am when I'm around people that I know and when I get comfortable. And I was like, I don't know if the world's ready for that. Like, do I need to take that out in public yet? I don't know. But I remember like being in college and just like one day I just woke up and was like, no, Deshaun's going to class today. Deshaun's going to this event. Deshaun's going to this, like I'm showing up as myself. And when I started doing that, I felt like I was received even more ironically, because when you start to try to people please, which was something that I struggled with fresh out of high school, because I mean, kids are mean. Okay. You had to try to make sure that you could at least get through school. Yeah. So having gotten through high school, I was like, all right, it's time to figure out who I am and whether or not the world can accept me. So I just, like I said, woke up one day, I was like, I'm taking Deshaun everywhere I go. And people love me and receive me well. And even to this day, people are like, there's something about you. Like, I really just do show up as I am. Sometimes, you know, that was dangerous early on until I started to mature and realize that everything I felt didn't need to be said, or I didn't have to pick a fight for every little thing or whatever the case may be. But as I started to mature and craft who I was better, then I was like, oh, this person is okay to show up everywhere. Like, people like her. She's going everywhere I go. So ultimately, I think once you determine who you are, in a sense, because we're ever changing, right? So it's not a definite thing. Who I am today is probably not going to be who I'm going to be when I'm accepting my Oscars and my bank account was different. Not that I'm going to change negatively, but I'm going to feel a little bit more comfortable, because unfortunately, capitalism has a huge impact on your freedom. Mm-hmm. I want y'all to know that, government. But with that being said, I think that the ever-changing element of life, like, things happen, they make you stronger, things happen, they might make you weak in a moment. And it's just accepting that as like an experience and not who you are. So I think the biggest thing for me was not taking on all of the things that were happening to me as who I was, but things that were happening. So I think I have a pretty good sense of self-identity. We've talked about this before, like how important self-awareness is to me, and self-discovery, and like really understanding who I am. So I think that's always the first step, you know? Yeah. You gotta know, who are you?
Right. And I want to ask you, because people pleasing was something I struggled with as well. And I feel like some of our audience might have struggled with it or currently are struggling with it. So in discovering your identity, how did you personally get rid of that people pleasing mindset and say, okay, I don't need to please everyone. The only person who needs to be content with who I am is me.
I think I placed less value on others. At that time, I was putting people on pedestals, so their feelings matter more than mine. So if I was like, oh, I'm gonna make this person uncomfortable if I'm who I am, oh well. You know, like, I'm uncomfortable, but I'm not considering that. I'm thinking about that person. And then oftentimes we value people's opinions too much. One of the things that I say to myself, or I'll say to my brother, because he'll be like, you're embarrassing or something like that. And I'll be like, we're never gonna see that person again. And if we do, they're probably not gonna remember what happened. Like, I just placed way less value on the things that used to embarrass me. Excuse me. I placed way less value on the things that used to embarrass me, and just kind of like charged into situations knowing like, what difference is it gonna make if I please that person? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, are they going to treat me any differently? Probably not. Or are they going to respect me anymore? Probably not. And 9 times out of 10, when you're trying to please people, they have no idea. They're completely oblivious to it. Yeah. You're just pretty much performing as a servant to their emotions and to their well-being without considering your own. And when you look at it like that, it kind of makes you like, why would anybody do that, right? But it's harder. It's harder when you're in the situation than it is to reflect on it. So it took a while. I'm not gonna lie. Because when I think back to college, if I'm being honest, I went to a lot of parties I didn't want to go to. I took a lot of shots I didn't want to take. And just thinking about all of those situations, like where I just couldn't speak up enough for myself and say, I don't want to do this because everybody else is doing it. I was like, I'm going to go along with it. And it's very much that analogy that our parents used to give, like, if everybody else jumps off a bridge, you're jumping off the bridge too. I don't know, Mom. I got my parachute on my back. I might go out that guy. Like,
oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that was literally what I was doing as a people pleaser. I was showing up to that bridge with everybody else on the edge, sometimes with the parachute, sometimes without. You know, sometimes you put yourself in very dangerous situations trying to people please. So I think it definitely takes growth. It definitely takes practice. You talked about that with the practice of freedom. That is like the biggest element. Like, being free to be who you are, you know what I'm saying? So it's definitely a practice. It's definitely sometimes accepting who you are for yourself, because there's good and there's ugly to it. So the good is easy to be like, oh, I'm Courtney, I'm cute, I'm smart, I'm about my business. But then it's hard when there's like the negative effects of things that you are like working on and you're like, okay, I'm Courtney, I probably need to work on this, I probably need to work on this. And those parts are not so pretty. And that's the hard part, because a lot of times those parts are what you're projecting to those around you when you're in this feeling of like needing to people please. You're like, I think they see this. I think they see this. And they have no idea that you're struggling with whatever you're struggling with. So I think the biggest thing, like I mentioned earlier, is just kind of alleviating the value that we place on others ahead of ourselves. Like, put yourself on the first pedestal and then they can sit on the ones around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for me, it was burnout. Because I would be one Courtney around this group of friends, a completely different Courtney around another group of friends. And I also saw myself starting to become things I didn't like that I saw in other people. So I would be like, oh, I don't like fake people. But you're friends with person A when you're in their face. But if person B doesn't like them, then you don't like them either. So yeah. For me, it was definitely burnout, but more so seeing things that I didn't like. And it's crazy, you would see, like, if you're around someone and you're like, ooh, I hate that about that person, then you start to see it in yourself and you're like, oh,
that's me, I'm that person. Yes,
it's me. And it's just, it was a lot, and I became super depressed. I saw myself not flourishing in school, in relationships with my friends and my family. And then I just saw myself heading down a really bad slippery slope. So it was hard to pull myself out of that, because it's like years and years of practicing being fake. And then you have to practice. Well, first you have to unlearn those patterns. Mm-hmm. And then you have to relearn the correct patterns of who you want to be.
Absolutely. So. I think that's the hard part too, right? Because we don't always have a good sense of self when others have projected so much on us. We have to like clear all of that out the way before we can understand who we are. Because like you said, like, if I'm around these people and they're doing these things, sometimes you assume, oh, I must like that too. Like, you know, they say you are who your friends are. So it's like, if my friends are doing this, I must like it too. But that's not always the case. So it's finding like that balance in there of like, no, I don't like that. That's not me. And then trying to figure out how to like dial it back, because I mean, it was hard saying, I don't want to go to this party, or I don't want to take this shot, mm-hmm. or I don't want to hang with those people, when I knew that that was something that I probably would have enjoyed momentarily. It would have been instant gratification, but it would not have been fulfilling to me later, when the Deshaun that I was at the time was like so self-conscious about those things. Like, oh my God, like I was struggling with my spirituality, like out in the world, like exploring the world and not really worrying about my spirit. So I think the biggest thing, like you mentioned there, is like, sometimes it's hard when you're one person here, one person there, and you're like, dang it, who am I? But you know, so you really do have to search to find the pieces. Like, I know I'm not this, I just did that. Or I know I'm not this, I just did that. Which is another reason why I mentioned earlier how sometimes our circumstances and our experiences reflect on who we are, but they're not who we are, it's just what happened. Like, you make a mistake, that doesn't mean that mistake is you. That's just a mistake you made. But unfortunately, that's what happens in the world. So that's something to consider. Which brings me to another question. So, like, obviously, there's not a huge jump from, like, when we were in school to now. Well, I mean, kind of, because I'm about to go to my high school reunion. Yikes. But when we think about the jump between then and now, why do you think that we identified so differently than we do now. Obviously, there's the age gap, but I do feel like ultimately when I was a kid, although probably high school was not the best, not the best gauge, but maybe like middle school, elementary, we had such a good sense of ourselves. And then like life starts to happen and, you know, pain and hurt starts to happen. And then you start to lose yourself a little bit. So where do you think that like murky water was for you? Like at what point were you like, okay, now I'm worried about what people think, but as kids, we did any and everything without embarrassment.
Yeah, and you know, it was actually different for me. So a lot of people, it's like you have that really confident stage where you're rooted in who you are, and then you transition into wanting to people please. But for me, it's actually been wanting to people please my whole life. Simply because, and this is going to be a really candid moment, and it might even be triggering for people who have dealt with this, but my father wasn't in my life for a long time. So it was that constant search. My people pleasing came from that constant search of the love that I was wanting from him.
Oh, if you're not preaching right now.
And it was very hard to come to terms with that and to accept it and realize it, because when I was in middle school is when I moved to a completely different state, but me and him would talk more than we did when I was living in the same state as him. But and even though he was giving me that attention, I still in the back of my mind had the question of, why are you no longer in my life? Why did this have to happen? Why did this happen? Was it me? And I feel like children of divorce, that is a question that constantly plays in the back of our mind, and that we don't want to ask either of the parents, because it's like we don't want to make parent A feel bad, we don't want to make parent B feel bad, and we don't want it to them to have a fight about it or an argument about it. So I just never asked, and I never told them how I felt about it. And then this is probably a completely different subject, but once it built up so much, I was so angry with my dad that I became angry with my mom too. And the anger wasn't even at her, but I would point the anger towards her, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I think that's where my muddy water was in the fact that I wanted my dad's acceptance and love, but since I felt like I wasn't getting it from him, then I was like, well, I need to find somebody or something to replace it. But at the end of the day, nobody's was ever enough, because it wasn't the person who I truly wanted it to come from.
Absolutely. I can totally agree, right? Because my parents got a divorce when I was in the eighth grade. So that's why I feel like that is where I kind of drew my line, like going into high school. And I actually had a little bit different of an experience because of the relationship I had with my dad when my parents first got a divorce. I felt as though I wasn't really looking to like please him or to make him love me. I did wonder like why he wasn't around as much. But I love my dad. And I also like the older I got, I understood more that it was a generational thing and it wasn't necessarily his fault, but that doesn't mean he's not responsible for, you know, working through it and things like that. But the biggest thing was wanting affirmation. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that I needed to please people. I needed people to affirm me, which made me like almost like addicted to school, because it was a place where I was constantly affirmed. So I did everything. I was involved in everything. I was going to rehearsal and then coming home to write my report to make sure that it was getting 100, not a 98, because I was going to ask for my 2 points. I was just really going that hard on myself, probably up until about 11th, 12th grade, where I was like, this still isn't enough. You know what I'm saying? Like, that still wasn't enough. And then I was like, you know what? I got to go harder. So I ran for president of my class. I got that. I was considering running for homecoming, but my friend wanted to run. So I opted out of that. But like, I just needed ways in which I could like collect these successes so that I felt better about myself. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this on previous episodes, like how I identified as an academic. So that was me. And then I graduated from college and I was like, so we don't get honor roll anymore? They're calling right. President's list? Like, who gonna know I'm good? Me, that's it. It's up to me to know I'm good. Yeah. So I think that was the scariest part, was like then trying to find validation in myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to do that because I knew that I was going to be able to be like, oh, hi, I'm Deshaun. I've been on the president's list every year. I have a, you know, 3.9 GPA while I'm studying theater. Like, I could tell you the list of, I could give you my resume, but my resume wasn't who I was. And I didn't realize that actually until, I want to say that was like 2 years ago. I went to the Transformation Conference and Michael Todd talked about this in one of his little sermonettes. He was talking about how we're not what we do. Like, a plumber's not a plumber. He just plumbs. And that was crazy to me. And he was like, or a baker's not a baker. They just bake. Like, that's the gift God gave them. But at the end of the day, they are who they are. And that's just the gift that they have or the talent that they have. So that shook me up a little bit because I never identified as an actor for the longest. I would always say I'm an aspiring actress. And then I would get around like certain coaches who would be like, no, you're acting. Like, why are you telling people that you're aspiring to do it? Or they would be like, you know, when you start to say things like that, you're making it seem as if you're trying and not doing, like, be a doer. And that was something that I had to like pull into my identity too, because I would do a lot of dreaming and talking about the things that I wanted to do, but I wasn't executing. So I think the biggest thing when it came to that murky water, like you were talking about, is at 27 years old, I can tell you now that a lot of the people pleasing I did early on, like, or the affirmations I needed, like from men or from my friends or from my academic and scholastic career, was because I was lacking that from my dad. Like, my dad wasn't around to affirm the things that I was doing. So I figured if I had all of these things to tell him when I saw him, like, hey, I did this, it made me feel better. So that was probably my biggest struggle. But obviously some of that has changed now that I've gotten older. But it's just a principle of thinking, like, how big, like, life events can affect your whole, like, the trajectory of your life and who you become. So kind of asking that question, like, that's a big life event, right? Especially when it happens in our youth. And that's a time where we're starting to figure out who we are. And it has a huge effect on who we are when we get older. So how do you think events in our life sometimes can rub off onto who we are?
Yeah, I think it's all in how we allow it to rub off on us. So there can be negative things that happen in our lives that we can allow to shape us into being a better human. It's all in how we view it. So I could have said, okay, well, my dad's not in my life. That doesn't mean I have to search for love from everybody else. I could have chosen to ask him, hey, what happened? Or I could have said, okay, well, right now, maybe I don't need that love and validation from somebody else. Maybe I need to look for it from myself and, more importantly, from God, who is my Father in heaven. There are so many things, but oftentimes for me personally, because I can only speak for myself, I did allow those things to rub off on me negatively. So if a friendship ended with someone, then I would say, oh, dang. I'm a bad friend. No, you aren't a bad friend. That's not how you should identify, Courtney. What you should say is, okay, that relationship is over. That relationship was only meant to last for this page or this chapter of your life. So I really feel like oftentimes if it's showing up negatively in your life, then it's because it's the perspective or the way that you're looking at it. So I feel like we should just honestly change our perspective and the way we look at things, because I feel like I'm almost hardwired to look at things negatively, or I allow myself to look at things negatively. So that's another practice, is looking at things from a different perspective and not allowing it to say, or not allowing myself to say, okay, Courtney, because this happened, you are this.
Absolutely.
Like you were saying, the things that have happened to us don't make they make us who we are, but they aren't who we are.
Absolutely. And I think, I mean, that's it right there. And even for me, I wanted to take on all of the like hurt and pain of the things that were happening to me forever. Like, oh, I'm hurt about this. Oh, life is just gonna be so bad. And that wasn't always the case. So I did have to grow out of that. But the older I got, like I said, I was able to separate what I was going through and find who I was in the midst of those things. Like, my reaction to it is proof of who I am. So if I'm reacting to it in weakness, then that might be an area that I need to strengthen, or whatever the case may be. So that's pretty much been my learning curve, is trying to figure out what are my strengths in these areas. Like you said, like, am I optimistic? I would like to say that, but then sometimes I'm very much a realist, which makes me a little bit of a pessimist. And like, I'm like, oh, this can't work. I'm not going to try it, which then keeps me from being a doer. Mm-hmm. So there's all of these elements to the way in which we operate and the way in which we move based on the things that we've experienced, that if we can identify them, then we can make the shift. But like, if you're a person who's experienced a ton of failure, it's going to be extremely hard for you to try new things. Yeah. Because you're going to be like, nah, I failed. I know it's going to fail. I don't want to try it. But if you're a person who's experienced a lot of success, then you're going to want to try everything. But the thing about being that person who's experienced failure, if you never tried to even obtain success, then you'll never obtain success and know what it's like to feel success so that you can continue to try. So I think that's the biggest thing for me is like, there's always a starting point, right? So somebody one day decided there was going to be a podcast. They sat down with the mic, started recording themselves, just talking. And they were like, I don't know if anybody's going to listen to this. And people started listening to it. And it's just like, just trying, like even with starting Freedom Revamped, like you talked about at one point, like how hard that was, like not sure if people were receiving it well in the beginning, but like your persistence is what got us here. You know, like the people that are looking at the page, the people who are being moved by the page, the guests that we have on the show who are being moved by the brand. It's just like all of those things couldn't have happened if you didn't like step out and say, I'm just going to try. Yeah. So I think in terms of like how we identify, if we like reflect on things like that, like that's a part of who you are. You're brave. Courtney's brave. Courtney's going to take a chance and she's going to see how things work. And then we're gonna move from there. So I think if we start to look at those things that we are doing good and like practice gratitude around those things, then we might have a better sense of self, which essentially will make us dangerous for the world, okay? Because Black people are already fire. It would just be a whole lot of magic if we all knew who we were. So my next question is going to be about self-identity in conjunction with social media. And do you feel like your social media platform positively or accurately depicts who you are?
I feel like now I am morphing it in a way that it does. But when I first started social media, it did not, because I was just, well, first I was very young when social media started. So I was kind of mimicking what everybody else would do. But now I'm just trying to be as authentic as possible on my personal social media, because like you were saying, so much of the audience at Freedom Revamped is like, oh, wow, this is helping me. So I want my personal audience to be able to experience that as well, because why would I not grant them that? And I think where a lot of people, myself included, struggle with allowing social media to depict who you truly are is because we have this idea of perfectionism, which comes from celebrities and society and social media. Mm-hmm. So we want to show what I like to call the highlights of our lives, which is the best part of our lives. And that can be hard for somebody else who is struggling with identity to swallow, because especially if they're dealing with comparison, because if they look on your social media and all they see is the highlights of your life, then they're going to be comparing their lives and be like, wow, my life sucks. And I know that because I was that person who would be constantly looking at other people's social media. So now I'm like trying to keep that playing in the back of my mind, like, Courtney, okay, don't just post the highlights, because remember when somebody else was only posting their highlights, you were comparing, and that played a huge role in you not believing you were worthy or that you had a purpose. So like I said, now I'm morphing my social media platforms so that they can show every aspect of who I am without oversharing, but still in a way that it can help somebody else.
Absolutely. I think if I had to answer that question, that's very much what I try not to do, is overshare. Anybody who takes the time to listen to my stories, I do love to get on there and rant every so often, because the world is crazy. And I do so very unapologetically, because I'm like, this is a place that I feel like I should be able to express myself. When it comes to photos, I don't know that I translate very well in photos, because that's not like if you've ever been around me when I go places, I'm not, even if I have on the cutest outfit, I'm not the person like, can you take my picture? Can you take my picture? Like, I'm not that person. So sometimes I miss out on photos of a good fit and I'm like, dang, I didn't even take a picture. But my feed itself, I feel like when it comes to captions, I'm very adamant about making sure that the cat, like, unless it's just a throwaway photo where I'm just like, I just want people to see this. Cause sometimes I just very much is the energy. Like, I just want somebody to see this. And then there's other times where it's like, I don't think people understand like the story behind this photo. I'm going to put it in the caption. Because at the end of the day, I feel like I have been very transparent about my acting career lately. And I've had so many people like reach out to me and be like, I'm going through the same thing, or like encourage me to keep pushing. And it's not like I was seeking sympathy or anything from anybody. It's just like a community, you know what I'm saying? When people can see that you're going through something that they are going through, or that you're experiencing something they've experienced, it develops community, and then you can work through those things together. So I do have like a small group of people who are actors here in Atlanta that I can like confide in, and that I call my family, because we're all dealing with the same thing and we're all growing through the same thing. So that's been really helpful. But as far as self-identity, all of that came into play when I first decided like I was going to have these like moments of transparency. So I have not been super consistent with them because I didn't want to make it like a brand. I just wanted it to be something that I did. But I was doing these moments of transparency where I would literally get on there after I just like maybe came from work and I was crying about how I hated my job, and just tell people like, just to throw this out here. Yeah, you see me, you know, having a good time, but I hate my job. So like the thing that's funding all this fun is no fun, you know, and just being honest, because there are so many people who are probably like going through that same thing, especially at this like quarter life crisis part of our lives. For me and my peers, it's like, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? That's another thing when it comes to identity, like purpose. Like, do I know what my purpose is? Am I living in my purpose? So for me, like, and you can tell me whether or not you agree or not, I think purpose is a huge part of self-identity.
Yeah, I think we talked about this actually with Jada White in the last episode of season 2, where we were saying, I feel like you need to discover your identity first, and then you can begin to pursue your purpose, because if you don't know who you are, then you really can't decide, you know, or well, not decide, you don't decide your purpose, but you can't discover and pursue your purpose if you don't know who you are, because when you're stuck in being who everyone else wants you to be, that's 9 times out of 10 not who God needs you to be.
Absolutely. That's absolutely correct. So I think it's time that we give some help work, Courtney. What do you think?
I think so too, yes.
Awesome. So we've talked about self-identity throughout this episode. And one of the earlier questions that I asked Courtney is, how does she identify and how does she think others would say she identifies? So I encourage you to grab a piece of paper, fold it in half, write on one side how you identify, and on the other side, what others might say your identity is. Compare those sides. Take the pieces that you like, get rid of the things you might not like. Work toward breaking bad habits, finding positivity in the things that you like, and being grateful for the parts of you that you love. So without further ado, I would love for Courtney to kind of give a little bit of background on this practice of freedom, so that when I tell you guys at the end of every episode to practice freedom, you know what it is I'm talking about doing. So Courtney, can you give them a little background on that?
All right, yes, guys. So of course, like Deshaun said, we always ask our guests how they define freedom, how they practice freedom, and then at the end of every episode, Deshaun reminds you to practice freedom. So the idea of practicing freedom comes from us being in bondage for a majority of our lives, where it's like we said, you want to be who everyone else wants you to be. So practicing freedom is essentially, like I said earlier, unlearning who everybody else wants you to be and relearning who you were actually created to be. So practicing freedom can be, well, first you have to define freedom for yourself, not what anybody else says freedom is. And then after you define freedom, your practice of freedom should directly correspond with that. So if you want to define freedom by being 100% who you were created to be, then your practicing might be writing down things you like about yourself and dislike about yourself, similar to our homework for today. If you want to define freedom as being healthy, then your practice of freedom might include doing yoga or running. It's different for everyone, but those are just two examples that popped up in my head.
Awesome. Well, now that you know, of course, I'm going to tell you to practice freedom, but before doing so, I'm going to tell you to make sure that you're following us on all social media platforms, that you're keeping up with the old episodes of the podcast. If you missed them, make sure you catch up, because this season is going to be jam-packed with great dialogue and wonderful, beautiful videos as well to accompany those. So make sure that you're caught up so that you can be right on track with us. When we start making references to old episodes, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. We want you to be there with us. So make sure that you're following Freedom Revamped. Also make sure that you're following Courtney. Courtney has a lot of great things going on as a digital assistant, also doing brand strategy. So make sure that you get with her because you want to get with the winning team. And you can follow me as well. We'll be sure to share our links down in the description box below. As always, we love you all and practice freedom.